Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Each year, the Goldman Environmental Prize recognizes seven grassroots environmental activists from around the world with prizes of $125,000. This year, the winner from Africa comes with a story that may be familiar to listeners to Living on Earth. The tale of Hammarskjöld Semwenga of Zambia figures prominently in the book Secrets of the Savannah. It was written by American zoologist Mark and Delia Owens, who last appeared on our show about a year ago. They had worked with Mr. Semwenga on elephant conservation and community development in northern Zambia. The trio helped villagers start a cottage industry pressing cooking oil from sunflowers as an economic alternative for rampant elephant poaching in the area, especially in North Luanga National Park. Influential commercial poachers and government officials pushed the Owenses out of Zambia a few years ago, and Hammarskjöld Semwenga was left to pick up the pieces. Mr. Semwenga came to the U.S. to receive his Goldman Environmental Prize and joins us now in the studio. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
How did you get that name, Hammarskjöld? Doesn't sound African to me.
No. It's really Swedish. You know, in the early 60s, we had the Dag Hammarskjöld, who was our Secretary General, and he was on a mission to Africa. And sadly, he crashed in Ndola, which is our second capital city in Zambia. And by that time, Dad was working at a nearest hospital and was among the first people to rush at the scene. And unfortunately, it was a disaster. But a few years later, when Dad had his first born, he thought of naming him Hammarskjöld. And that's how I was named Hammarskjöld.
And everybody calls you Hammer.
And now everybody calls me Hammer because apparently it's a long name for everybody. And also it's difficult to write it. You know, the spelling is quite difficult. So I've decided to shorten it by Hammer. But I love to be called Hammarskjöld.
For the UN Secretary General who was killed in a plane crash.
Yeah, on a noble mission to Africa.
The very first UN General Secretary, I believe.
Yeah, he was.
So where exactly are you from?
I'm coming from Zambia, a country on the central part of Africa, and I'm also coming from the northern part of that country. And my concentration of work is in the North Ruangwa National Park. This is a park which is part of the Great Rift Valley of the East Africa, and it has a diverse animal species and also including plant species.
So what exactly do you do there?
There I'm working with the community because initially this community was more involved in illegal hunting. And at the rate the park was being hunted, it was going to have maybe by this time sterilized.
Sterilized, you
that
mean?
That is being
all the
completely
big animals gone.
And this is a park which is about 6,400 kilometers squared. If all big animals were wiped out, then this would be just an empty wilderness. I'm also working with the community in terms of providing them with the alternatives. That is in terms of agriculture and cottage industries. This is in terms of promoting beekeeping, fish farming, resource.
So what inspired you to do this work? Why didn't you just, if the local business is poaching and illegal hunting, why don't you join with them?
Yeah, basically, it was a sad situation which maybe inspired me because at one time we managed to see 10 in a day dead elephants with all their tusks gone. Then these are creatures to which, to my heart, I think it's our role as human beings to give them the protection. The thing which also made me really inspired and made me really do something was when a head of an elephant was killed and only a baby elephant remained and it had nowhere to go, it started following the people wherever they went. So to me, that really moved my heart, and then I said we should do something.
Now, in years past on our program, Living on Earth, we've had Mark and Delia Owens talk to us, and they spent some time in your area. You spent some time with them, right?
Yeah. Basically, yes, because they were doing their study in the park, and their study was constantly disturbed by the heavy poaching which was going on there. That's when, again, the thought of maybe increasing the area of intervention, not only looking into the affairs of the research and the science behind it, but they also look on how they can empower the community. So that's how they came up with a community development program as another way of saving the national park. So this is where I was hired in 1994 to come in and spearhead the community development program, basically to do more on agriculture development and business entrepreneurship.
So before you were working on your own dealing with poachers, you were very concerned.
Yes.
And then the Owenses came along and they hired you to help them with their project.
Definitely, yes.
So you combined forces.
Definitely, yes. That was a good team because I found a couple who had the passion for the animals and also the passion for the country and the passion for the community. So they managed to also raise funds to help the community program by bringing in simple machines like the oil presses. This also helped the community develop bigger interest in preserving the wildlife, because now we linked the community program and also the wildlife conservation part of it.
After a while, though, Mark and Delia Owens, the Americans who were interested, I guess, in elephants and then community development, they got run out of your country. People were looking for them, trying to kill them.
It has never been easy, especially in conserving wildlife in Africa. It could not only be in Zambia, but all over Africa because of the poverty levels. And when you try to maybe to stop illegal people doing something wrong, then they'll be on your life because you're kind of interfering with their incomes. So definitely it was not only the Mark Owens who were in danger, but also the people who are working with the project, and also the game scouts who are implementing the law enforcement part. The biggest part was to have the community on our side. And that's why the community program came in, so that we could offer an alternative, so that we could also do a co-management program with them.
So what happened? The Owens, they could leave and come back to America. You couldn't leave. I mean, that's home for you, Zambia.
Yeah, it was home, so I could not leave. We had a government at that time which was corrupt, of course, but we were quite strong because we stood for conservation. And then that's how the Mark Owens, in fact, they were on a holiday here in USA. They just heard that their project had been stopped, had no pay, had nowhere to go, had no transport to continue the program. But because of what I said, that I was inspired with what was already on the ground, I had to stand up because the picture of the elephant, baby elephant, was still in me. The picture of the community still needing someone to motivate them to go ahead was still in me. They were my people. It is my country. It was my park. I could not come to the United States, so I had to remain.
So you founded your own organization then?
Yes, definitely, because I needed to work with something which is legal. Immediately, the Owens left, which meant, of course, the project they were working on ceased to be there. But for me to operate effectively and to be protected by the law of the land, I had to register an NGO to continue the work. Of course, I still maintained the North Rwanga Conservation Project because that was still my major strength. And also, I still wanted to continue with the community development program. Hence, this program has two thrusts: conservation of wildlife and also community development.
So it's the North Luanga Wildlife Conservation and Community Development Program.
Yes, which means we have to develop the wildlife and also have to develop the community. So we have to find a balance of the two, and which I think we've managed to do.
Of course, everyone asks you about this. How safe is it for you now? I mean, the Owens were in danger. I think people, one time, they were looking for you too.
Yeah, definitely, yes. But that's why in this program, I've concentrated much on the children. I've loved them so much. I had a stronger voice from the young ones whenever I was in the village. They talked good about me. So even when either their parents were conniving the big poachers, the children would still listen and say, and come and warn me, and say, Hammer, don't come to the village today. There are bad guys in the village.
So, Hammer, where are things now in North Luanga?
I think things are better. Everyone is happy. The community is happy because places where they never used to see an elephant, children who never saw the elephant, especially those who were born late 80s, 90s, they just heard of an elephant. But this time, these elephants are moving in their villages. And now we are having a problem on how to control them from raiding their crops. And luckily enough and happily enough, I'd say we've found a kind of a simple solution which has worked for the past 3 years. We're using chili. making some chili fence. This is a very humane and it's a very environmental friendly way of protecting the elephants into the people's fields. The chili is planted either as a boundary of the crop, and the other one is we are using pepper chili. You put a small fiber, then smear your chili, just a single rope. I mean, you cannot imagine that an elephant would be scared to pass through a single rope. But that, because of the chili, which is a terrible repellent, I don't know the science behind it, but an elephant will never come near a chili plant. And that has worked. And at the moment, everyone is growing chili to protect their fields.
Well, you can imagine, I mean, if you've ever had any pepper sprinkled it out, it makes you sneeze, right?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So now you're an elephant. You know mm-hmm. how much nose an elephant
yeah,
has?
Yeah, and how much air it takes in. So I would say the park is healthy. Both the community and the Zambia Wildlife Authority and us as a project, we've found a better ground to discuss and see how we conserve this unique resource.
How are the villages doing economically now after transitioning from subsistence poaching to the small business of growing fish and sunflower and doing cooking oil and such?
Yeah, so we're seeing increased food production and also increased sales. We are also seeing increased incomes because we'd see people buying bicycles, we'd see people sending their children to school. So we are having a lot of positive indicators which are showing us that there's an increased income circulation. The economy of the village is expanding because previously you could not find a young man who, after producing a certain crop, would put up a small tax shop so that there's reinvesting of the money within the community. So basically it's a health community. The children are happy. They are running around. We have also managed to help them build community schools. So most of the time, our children are spending time at the school. So that has really increased the strength of the community. In short, I would say the community has been empowered through this program.
Now, what about tourism? Is there any tourism?
Tourism has also developed tremendously. This is a park which was written off a few years ago, about 10, 15 years ago. But today, it is one of the parks which is growing at a very fast rate. A lot of people have applied to do their operations there. Apart from that, we're also seeing an increased interest of the local community trying to visit this park to see the results of their work, which they've been involved for so many years. So we're seeing a lot of interest, both by external tourists and the local people.
So what are the lessons for Zambia, the rest of Africa, the world even, in what you've discovered to protect these elephants?
Yeah, the elephants have to be protected, and it's the role of everyone to do it because these big mammals, they signify the greatness of Africa and the continent. Because if they were wiped out and they were not protected, then the whole essence of having Africa would not be there, because to me, I believe each continent, God gave its own habitation. Wildlife, big animals like buffalo, elephants, they are part of our blood. So if they are not there, then the continent is not there.
So what do you plan to do with the award money?
The award money, basically, I think it will just help me move ahead with the cause. Because, again, having saved the North Ruangwa and the situation in which it is, it's safe and it is sustainable. It can continue. The communities have been empowered. And no one can go through it and start poaching again, because they are getting more money from the businesses which they are doing in the community. Now, I think this prize money will just help me even reach another place, which I've been called several times by the local chief there to go and introduce a similar program for his people. So basically, to give me another mileage to do what I love most.
You're not going to do anything else. This is your life work?
I think so. I think now it's in my blood, and every time I'm thinking on how to make the environment better for everyone.
Hammer Skold Semwenga. Everybody calls you Hammer, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, sure. To that.
Does that mean a tough guy, the hammer?
Yeah, definitely, yes. Hammer is something very tough. You have to nail the nails down into a hard rock.
Hammer Semwenga is the Goldman Environmental Prize winner this year from the continent of Africa. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
You can learn more about Hammarskjöld Simwinga's work in Zambia, as well as this year's other Goldman Environmental Prize winners, at loe.org.
One Zambia, one nation.
Next time on Living on Earth, New Yorkers looking for a clean, carbon-free source of power may have to look no further than the East River. That's where workers are installing generators that run on tidal power.
All of us, our team together, has built six turbines to go underwater here that capture the kinetic energy of the flowing water without any dams. They're sort of like underwater windmills. And as the tide goes in and the tide goes out, the flood and the ebb, they capture some of the energy and convert it directly to electricity.
Capturing the energy of the tides, next time on Living on Earth.
One Zambia, one nation. One Zambia, one nation.